Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. It is a pleasure once again on this side of eternity to be able to come to you with a study of God's precious Word. Does the Bible produce different religions? That is what some people believe. They believe the Bible is written in such a way that it cannot be understood alike. They believe the Bible is open to many different interpretations. Well, this is not true. The blame for the division in the religious world does not rest on the shoulders of the Bible. The Bible can be understood by those who open their heart to it, and it can be understood alike. The blame for religious division among those who claim to follow the Bible rests on the shoulders of man, not on the Bible. The reason for the division in religion is that some people who claim to follow the Bible really misunderstand the Bible. But why do they misunderstand the Bible? Well, that's what I want to talk about on the program today, and the Lord willing, next week. Why do people misunderstand the Bible? I want us to look at some rules for misunderstanding the Bible. I want us to consider these rules so that we can avoid them when we study God's Word. Our goal is so that we might know how to understand the Bible. Well, first of all, to misunderstand the Bible, tell yourself that you cannot understand it and that it is impossible for people to understand it alike. Believing this, you will probably not study the Bible much. You will not give it the attention that it deserves and therefore will not come to an understanding of it. But the fact is, the Bible can be understood by anyone, and it can be understood alike by all who understand it. You know, God has chosen to communicate His will to us by means of words, human language. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Also in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, the word Scripture in this passage means a writing. Well, this is the writing of words. These words are inspired of God, Paul says. That means they're breathed out by God. Words, you see, are conveyors of thought. And God has chosen to convey His thoughts to us by means of words, the words of the Bible. Now, question, is God capable of communicating by means of words in a manner that man is able to understand? If we're going to accept that God is a higher power who created human beings and knows us better than we know ourselves, are we going to deny His ability to communicate in a way that we can understand? To suggest that we cannot understand the Bible is to suggest that God is incompetent in His abilities to communicate by means of words with humans. And further, the Lord tells us that we can understand the words of the Bible. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now Jesus says we can know the truth. In John 17 verse 17, Jesus says that the Word of God is truth. And so to know the truth is to know the Word of God. And to know the Word of God is to understand it. Jesus says you can know it. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, Paul says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does God desire that we know the truth and then give us the truth in words that cannot be understood? Who can believe it? Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, "How that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5. Now, I don't know how many people were in the church in Ephesus to whom this epistle was written, but there was more than one person, and Paul told all of them that they could understand, as he did, the mystery of Christ when they read the words he had written. These words that Paul had written were not subject to personal interpretation. They were written so we might understand what God wants us to know. these words can be understood. And these words can be understood alike. Jesus prayed for unity in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. He prayed that those who believe in Him might be one, as He and the Father are one. That's what the Lord truly desires. But in order for unity to exist, we must be able to understand the Bible alike. How can we be one, even as Christ and the Father are one, if we are divided over what God has said in His Word? In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, a question is asked, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, the answer is no. True unity can only exist if there is agreement. Paul said to the church in Corinth, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now, how could they be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, with no divisions among them, if the words of God that Paul taught them were open to many different interpretations? If the Bible cannot be understood alike, then there is no basis upon which unity can be required. And so, if we are to come to an understanding of the Bible, we must believe that it can be understood and that it can be understood alike. But then secondly, to misunderstand the Bible, think on a carnal level. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the carnally minded are those who are dictated by their fleshly lust. Satisfying their pleasures is the object on which their hearts are set and to which their lives are devoted. And Paul says that this person is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Well, why? Well, it's because doing God's will is not always what we want and what will give pleasure to the flesh. And so one who is in tune to the flesh will read the Bible and end up interpreting it in a way that suits his pleasures. For example, here is a man who wants to divorce his wife for incompatibility and marry another woman. But Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Matthew 19, verse 9. Well, this man who is carnally minded, who is desirous to marry another woman, will either disregard Jesus' will here in Matthew 19, or he will twist the passage to make it say what he wants it to say. You see, he is not subject to the law of God and will not be able to come to an understanding of God's will. To understand God's Word, we must desire God's will more than any pleasure this world can provide. But if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then think on a carnal level. And then thirdly, to misunderstand the Bible, make up your mind about what you believe before you even open the Bible. The one who does this will use the Bible to try to prove what he already believes rather than going to the Bible to determine what he should believe. You know, making up your mind about a matter before investigating is what is called prejudice. Webster defines prejudice as preconceived judgment or opinion or learning adverse to anything without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. Prejudice, then, is a great time saver. It enables us to form convictions without bothering to get the facts. It's like the judge who was presiding over a trial, and after hearing the case for the prosecution, he said, I don't need to hear any more. I'm ready to issue a verdict. Well, the defense attorney objected and said, surely, Judge, you're not going to decide in this case without hearing the other side. Well, the judge said, yes, my mind is made up. What you say may confuse me. Well, we think that is absurd. Well, it's not any more absurd than for us to make up our minds what is true in religion without investigating what God has said in His Word. You know, the religious leaders among the Jews, for the most part, rejected Jesus as the Messiah because of prejudice. They were looking for an earthly king who would sit upon an earthly throne and restore the kingdom of Israel to greatness. But Jesus came along, exposing the sins of the religious leaders, calling them to repentance, claiming to be the Son of God, and went about preparing for a kingdom which was not of this world. Rather than investigating and letting the facts speak for themselves concerning Jesus, the Jews closed their minds and refused to see the truth about Him. You know, at one time, Nicodemus said to his fellow Pharisees who had rejected Jesus, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" John 7, verse 51. Well, that's a good question. But rather than honestly investigating the truth about Jesus, they rejected Him and crucified Him. Their mind was already made up. Jesus described them when He said, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. A prejudiced mind, then, will never find the truth. You remember the story of Galileo, who was accused of heresy because he affirmed the revolution of the earth. When he was called before the Inquisition, he said to the judges, "Here is my telescope. Look through it, and you shall see the moons of Jupiter." However, the judges were so convinced that the earth did not revolve around the sun that they refused to look. They were prejudiced against the truth. Well, if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then make up your mind about what you believe before you even open the Bible to read it. When you read it, you will read it with colored glasses on, only seeing what you want to see. But if you want the truth, if you want to understand God's Word, then read the Bible with an open and honest heart, with a purpose of coming to an understanding of God's will. Well, our time is gone for today, and we want to continue this lesson next week, Why Some People Misunderstand the Bible, and we hope that you'll join us then. But before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of subjects, and you're also able to hear the more recent Bible Talk radio broadcast. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. sjchurchofchrist.com. If you would like an audio CD copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Also, if you have a question that you would like for us to address on a future program, then we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may send in your request or ask your questions. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.